The Christian faith is not boring.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again.
The Christian faith is so stunning and radical that it's amazing to me that we have our children sitting in pews and classrooms yawning and bored with it. And all I could do is say that we've got to figure out a way to repeat this thing, to echo it again, and really reawaken our imaginations to its truth.
Learn more about Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk at issuesetc.org.
Never underestimate the power of music. No one was going to hand me my future. It was up to me to reach for my dream, grab it tight, and make it come true.
All right, who's in there?
I'm sorry. What's going on? I'm just dreaming.
This isn't a dream, then. You're all really out there.
It's a trailer for the latest Pixar film, Coco. It has to do with a little boy who travels to the land of the dead on a quest of his own. Now, I take it that Pixar doesn't often deal with the issue of death. But this film actually has, as its premise, death and an afterlife of a particular kind. There are going to be positives and negatives to a film like this. Do the positives outweigh the negatives? And how does Pixar deal with the issue of death? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be reviewing the Pixar film Coco. Pastor Ted Geese joins us. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
This is a mixed bag, this Pixar film. Obviously, there are compelling stories. They always tell a great story, and it's colorful. It's got everything that the kids could possibly want. But you say it's a mixed bag of positives and negatives that we'll get into in some detail in just a minute. Do the positives outweigh the negatives?
I'm going to be the big wet blanket and say no, they don't. I think the positive things do shine through, but you know, like let's imagine this is a kids' movie, right? So, essentially, parents, grandparents are going to sit down, watch this movie with the kids. Maybe they'll put it on in the background, and the kids will watch it. There is so much to untangle out of this in order to get to those positive things. That it's you have to start to wonder, is it worth your time to do all of the untangling? And the reason why there's so much untangling to do is that it's rife with syncretism, and syncretism is just this kind of mixing of Christian thoughts and ideas with pagan ideas. And in this case, it's all kind of connected to the Day of the Dead, the Dia de Muertos.
Okay, so what's Coco about?
Coco, just a quick thumbnail sketch is that Coco is a little kid. Coco is about a little kid named Miguel, and his great grandmother is named Coco. So that kind of gets revealed as you go through the film. But this little kid, Miguel, he's an aspiring musician. He wants to be a musician, but his family basically has banned music from the family because of his great-great-grandfather, who had left the family without the great-great-grandfather, right? And they're a family of shoemakers. So the expectation is that he wouldn't follow his heart and become a musician, but he would become a shoemaker like the rest of the family. But of course, he wants to follow his heart and follow his music. So he ends up stealing a guitar that belonged to a very famous musician that he then believes is his great-great-grandfather. And then in the course of that, he's cursed and he ends up going to the land of the dead. So he's a fish out of water in the land of the dead, a living boy in the land of the dead. And if he doesn't get the blessing of his family before the day is through, before the sun comes up, then he'll be stuck there. So this is kind of what you get in this film, and he has to kind of figure things out. It's a little bit of an adventure.
Let's go through some of the positives of this film. How would you outline those?
Well, I mean, one of the positive things about the film is that it's oriented around family. So there's a bunch of things that are positive about that. Like in one way, there's this kind of sense that, and very literally in the film, that he needs the blessing of his family. And as a Christian, you can think back to like Genesis chapter 27 and like Isaac's blessing for Esau that ends up going to Jacob. So there are moments in scripture where you have this blessing being given to family members. Also, there's a strong focus on remembering people in your family who have gone on ahead of you. That's a strong aspect of the film. And as Christians, you know, there's all sorts of things all through scripture about that. So, for instance, you have all of these people, specific individuals in scripture who are named, who show up in scripture, and they're there so that we remember them. So, for instance, from like the Gospel of Mark, you have Simon of Cyrene, and then it says that he's the father of Alexander and Rufus. And the reason why they put a detail in there like that is because people would know who Alexander and Rufus were, the original hearers of the text. So, you know, like the idea that we're part of a family together in Christ is an important part of Christian faith and the Christian family of faith. So, you know, the idea of remembering the people who went on before you is a good thing. Also, you know, you have passages like from Hebrews chapter 13 about remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So these kinds of things are kind of a strong, where the film Coco encourages people to remember their own family. And as Christians, we can think of our faith family as well. That can be a very positive element. Also, of course, you know, at the beginning of the movie, music is poo-pooed upon, but by the end of it, music kind of comes back as being an okay thing for the family. And, you know, music is a big part of the Christian faith. And even like our own hymnal, if you look at the bottom of the hymnal, you'll have these little details like who wrote the text of a hymn, who wrote the tune for the hymn, when was it written? Because it's almost like a photo album of your family, only it's like the musical remembrance of the people in the faith that came on before you, the family of faith. So there are things that you can like draw out of it. But, you know, strong intergenerational, lots of ties with different kind of age groups within a family, and remembering those who went on before you. But those are the positive things that you could pull out of the film if you were talking about it with a kid.
Okay, so I'm wondering how it, obviously, since it's this child travels to the land of the dead, and it is based largely, especially the colorful imagery, upon the kind of the cultural celebration of the Day of the Dead, which you might need to explain to us a little bit. It's not something that's widely seen in the United States or Canada, but very much so in Central and South America. How do they deal with death? Pixar movies don't usually have people dying in them.
Yeah, this is an interesting thing. There's even one a little line in the movie. It's something to the effect of, you know, wishing somebody a good death or whatever. Like when they're like, he's a living boy with the, in the land of the dead. So they, instead of wishing somebody a good death, they're wishing somebody a good life. They're wishing him a good death. So yeah, it's a peculiar thing to cover. I mean, I guess in some ways that's not such a bad thing either. The fact that it can bring up a conversation about death and the afterlife. Unfortunately, the film, you know, while very colorful and really well made, like the Pixar does just a wonderful job with the visuals and stuff in the film. The problem is that the way that death is portrayed is not helpful and in many, many ways antithetical to the way that Christianity, the doctrines of Christianity that teach what the actual life after death would be like and is like. So that's where you start to get into some real problems. For instance, one of the big problems in the film is the technical term for it would be annihilationism. And that's the idea that in the afterlife there would be a time in which some people would just cease to exist. This is something that you can run into, you know, outside of things like the Day of the Dead with, I believe it's like Jehovah's Witnesses and stuff. They'll have this idea that there's a point at which people will just cease to exist, particularly people who go to like hell, let's say, would then just cease to exist. This is something called annihilationism, kind of like a final death kind of a thing. So in the film, they talk about when you are dead and you are in this afterlife, you exist in this afterlife within the film, dependent upon the memories of the living people in your family. They have to remember you. And on the Day of the Dead, they have to bring to the ofrenda, like where your photograph is and everything, like offerings for you, little things that you would then be able to use in the afterlife. These kinds of offerings or gifts and things like this are not part of, you know, what you're going to find in scripture as a scriptural expression of how to remember those who went on ahead of you. And in the film, you get a lot of this. And if a family stops remembering somebody, at the point where they stop remembering somebody, then they are referred to as being forgotten, and they end up having their final death. And they even say, you know, it happens to everybody eventually, because people will get lost in the mist of history and they just you know, vanish out of existence, and they're just gone. So this is where it gets into that annihilationism thing. And that's, I think, very unproductive and very unhelpful for Christian kids watching the film, or especially if they're unattended. If it's like, well, that's a good Pixar movie, they like the Cars movie, so throw that one on. I think that they need to, you know, you would have to have some kind of quite a conversation about that.
We should note here that while it's kind of presented in its most, can we even say this, of ancestor worship, innocuous form, there are major swaths of the globe covered with people who actually do worship their ancestors, and it's largely an animistic kind of faith that is motivated by fear of the ancestors, not concerned for their post-life well-being.
Yeah, this is where, like, the thing with a movie like Coco is that viewers, they're really going to want to be careful to make sure to remember that sentimentality doesn't trump doctrinal fidelity. This is a super important thing, because it is a heartwarming film, but just because the cockles of your heart are warmed doesn't make it true. And this is a real problem that can come up, because you're right. Around the world, ancestor worship is usually rooted in fear and not in feelings of love. It may start out in feelings of love, but it doesn't end there regularly. That's not the way it really is set up. Plus, you get this kind of strange hermetic, as above, so below kind of idea that shows up in this, where, you know, you give these little gifts to the dead person, and then they have that same little gift up in their afterlife or whatever. So it's kind of all flipped around on its head. So as below, so above, like they receive these things. And this is also not a Christian kind of an idea either. So if, for instance, what it introduces into the idea of the story is that certain characters, like the one that he's trying to find, who is his great-great-grandfather, this Ernesto de la Cruz, is a popular musician. And because he's a popular musician, he's getting all of these gifts and remembrances from people who idolized him in life. So he's kind of, you know, he's got this embarrassment of riches in the afterlife. So he's rich and powerful in the afterlife because of his popularity in life. So you have this kind of sense of popularity contest going on, even in death. And again, this is not something that is helpful for, you know, little Christian kids thinking about what death would be like.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest, reviewing the Pixar film Coco. When we come back, we'll talk about the inclusion of Christian symbolism in the film.
Just like we always do. Saturday night at the movie. clueless. Who cares what picture you see?
The Christian faith is not boring.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again.
The Christian faith is so stunning and radical that it's amazing to me that we have our children sitting in pews and classrooms yawning and bored with it. And all I can do is say that we've got to figure out a way to repeat this thing, to echo it again, and really reawaken our imaginations to its truth.
Learn more about Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk at issuesetc.org.
Are you a high schooler who enjoys theology? Do you know a high schooler who would make a good pastor or deaconess? Every summer, Concordia Theological Seminary offers programs for vocational discernment and theological education for high school students. Check out Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy this summer, June 17th through the 30th. Registrations open now. Email us at christacademy@ctsfw.edu or register online. Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, June 17th through the 30th.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing the movie Coco, a Pixar film. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, there's Christian symbolism in this film, isn't there?
Oh, sure there is. And this gets into that idea of syncretism in that, you know, it's kind of all infused into Roman Catholic imagery. So you have, although they kind of stop short of like crucifixes, you have crosses all over the place. So there's lots of points where they're in their home and stuff, like before he gets into the afterlife, where you see Christian crosses all over the place. Also, there's moments where, you know, like there are people dressed as priests and stuff like that. It's like there's like a movie of this Ernesto de la Cruz who is playing a priest or something like that. So think like, I don't know, Elvis Presley, you know, in movies, the same sort of idea. This is a very popular, you know, film and music star, this Ernesto de la Cruz. And of course, even the name de la Cruz is one of those things that is kind of has a Christian kind of context. De la Cruz means of the cross. And yet this Ernesto de la Cruz, who he thinks is his great-great-grandfather, turns out to be the villain, in that he has actually murdered the man who was really his grandfather, great-great-grandfather, stole all of his music and his guitar and ran off and had this big, big music career. And all of his idol worship, Miguel's idol worship of this de la Cruz, turns out to be false. And he, though, actually meets his real great-great-grandfather, Hector, who had died because of being murdered, essentially. But again, then now you have the guy whose last name means of the cross, which is a Christian kind of a thing. It's a veneer over top of a villain. And this is kind of a common trope. So maybe, you know, Hispanic kids, Spanish speaking kids, when they see de la Cruz, they're going to know what that means. And it's a kind of a mingling of Christian, you know, imagery and symbolism and language in with this film, which has things like spirit guides and all sorts of things that are not in any way, shape, or form Christian.
Deal, if you would, briefly here with the fact that essentially the kid is being disobedient in this film.
Yeah, you get lots of movies where you have to have tension, some sort of dramatic event to kick off a film. And, you know, there's lots of films where you have it start off with like a kid who, you know, didn't listen to his parents or something like that. This is the case here. So he's very disobedient kid, and yet he's supposed to be your hero. So by the end of it, he learns a lesson about the fourth commandment and honoring your mother and father and your family. But he's definitely a kid on a character arc. And he starts off, he's very belligerently disobedient to his parents. And even I'm reminded of, this is, you know, since we're just talking about it, there's another film too that's like, this happens often in kids movies because you'll have characters, central characters who are kids. But there's the movie Labyrinth, and that's all predicated on a teenage daughter who doesn't want to take care of her stepbrother, little stepbrother, for her parents, and is self-centered and wants it her way. So again, you see this same sort of thing in this film where it's the kid doesn't want to, you know, follow in the footsteps of the shoemaking family, but wants to instead have everything his way. And unfortunately, you know, in the end, like, his way is to have the music and all that kind of stuff. And in the end, music does come back as okay in the end. So it's like he's been disobedient. He does find the value of, you know, his family, but he was kind of right. So this is another trope, the kid that's right, like the teenage kid that's right, the little kid that's right, and the parents are all wrong. So thankfully he does have a respect for his family by the end of it, but he's kind of, you know, confirmed in his ideas along the way, which is also not a particularly good thing.
So finally, how would you summarize your impressions of the film and your pastoral concerns about taking, and this, to remind our listeners, this is a kid's film?
Yeah, I mean, I think that sometimes people will give a big pass to kids' films. And the thing they have to remember is that kids' films are not made by kids. Kids' films are made by adults. So often what you have in kids' films are actually adult themes and ideas. And people will see that with even movies like Zootopia that came out too. If you're a parent, and don't, obviously, like, a good thing to do is not to use movies and although very tempting to use them as babysitting tools, right? And at the very least, if you do that, you have to make sure that you have looked at what it is that the kid is watching. And if you look at it and you go, well, we don't want them to watch that over and over and over again, because if they watch it over and over and over again, then that's how you learn things. You know, so, you know, parents need to be cautious about what it is actually that the kids are watching. And then also to, if they've watched it, have a good conversation with them about it to make sure that Christian doctrine is actually what wins the day in that conversation and not the thing that was in the movie. And then maybe you could put that movie to bed and not, you know, repeat view it. Or if you are watching it in advance of the kid, maybe you watch it and go, yeah, that one we're going to have a pass on as a family. So those are just some pastoral concerns and thoughts about it. And maybe the other thing is people will say, it's a kid's movie, don't be so hard on a kid's movie. But, you know, often what happens with kids' movies is they do get watched over and over and over again. And that's how people learn and memorize things. So that all needs to just be kept in mind when you're looking at a movie like Coco. As fun and exciting and, you know, beautiful as it all looks and is and sounds, and with a very, you know, touching song, this Oscar-winning song, Remember Me, and it's an Oscar-winning film, best animated film of the year, it still is something you have to pay attention to and take a look at.
You can read Pastor Ted Geese's movie reviews at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., this week in Pop American Christianity, we'll talk about Andy Stanley's strange statements dismissing the Old Testament with Pastor Chris Roseborough, then Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.